Anoint these lips of clay. Anoint us to hear and to speak. We will not fail to praise you. And everyone said in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, the Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Would you give the Lord one great round of applause, because he is worthy tonight. With all of your heart, clap for the Lord. Lift your voice and talk with him. In Jesus' name. There is a man alive in the world tonight whose name is Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. He has written a book entitled The Power of Positive Thinking. In this book, he says that if a person will not allow themselves to think negatively by the space of 3 days, if for 3 days they will not allow themselves to entertain one negative thought, they will have it licked for a lifetime. He has become internationally famous because of his basic message of positive thinking. He pastors a very large church in New York City proper, and to that church there are Christians from every facet of Christianity who come to hear this man because he is positive. Everyone say positive. Positive. I am saying to you tonight that there are some people who have pointed fingers at me and said, Stone King, you are simply stubborn. You may call it stubbornness, you may call it whatever you like, but if God said it, I believe it, and I will hold on until it happens. If God said it, the promises of God are yea and amen. The Bible says to hold fast to the profession of your faith, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. If he said it, I believe it. Everyone say, I believe it. I believe it. Say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Let's clap again for the Lord and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. There is something wonderful to be said for positiveness. I really believe that positiveness is a kind of faith, and the things of God are positive. There are some people that I know that just automatically make me want to live for God. There are some people that to be around them, it is a lifting experience. Some people automatically cause you to believe that it will happen. Some people and what they have a hold of in God emanate a kind of faith that causes you and me to be able to reach out and to touch the hem of his garment. I am delighted to be with positive people. You are drawn to positive people. Without ever putting it into words or analyzing it, there is something about people in this church that are positive, that you will call them when you're in distress. You will call them when things are not going right. You will gravitate to them after a service or during a service because there is something about them that helps you. On the other hand, there are some people that are absolutely totally negative. There are some people, even in my own church, that when they come walking down the aisle toward me, I want to run because there is something about them that will distress me. There is something about their spirit that will cause me to leave the area of happiness and freedom where I am and be dragged into something that I don't want to be dragged into. It's the plague of pastoral work. There are some people that after I've been in their presence, it takes me a while to shake their spirit. It takes me a while to shake that negativism. There are some people, if you gave them a donut, all they would ever see is the hole. Because that is exactly where their heads are. Some people, it does not make any difference what God does or doesn't do. They have totally missed the entire core of the glorious service, and they go home with their aches and their pains and their distresses, and they'll drag you into it if you will let them. I will not let you drag me into all of that. I believe that there is a realm we can enter into that is great and glorious, that helps us to be free from the tenacity of the evil and the wickedness and the discouragement of this life. With Jesus, all things are possible. Anything can happen because He is here. With God, all things are possible. To him that believeth, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah! Let's all clap. There's a spirit that wants to. There is something in you tonight that wants to be lifted. Summer vacations are coming to a close, and there is something that wants to get back on track. There is something that wants to get back in the groove. There is something that wants to take a hold of you. You can feel it, and I can feel it in this place tonight. Doubt. Doubt is faith in reverse. Doubt is faith in reverse. I want you to know that the Bible says in Proverbs 6 and 2, "For thou art snared with the words of thy mouth." There is a law in your tongue of confession. And what you confess, friend, is what you're going to live with. What you constantly give your thinking and attention to is exactly what you're going to become. I have prayed for people in services and have known that they were touched by God. Ask them later, "How do you feel?" And instead of by faith saying, "I am better, I felt the touch of God, it's going to happen," they have said to me, "The pain is still there." And it is still there. What you confess with your mouth, you are going to get. There is a fearful something about this business of living for God and entering into a realm of the supernatural. There are some things sometimes that I feel, but I will not voice them because I am then afraid it will come to pass. There are times when I pray and will not allow myself to talk in English, but will ask God to give me intercessory prayer so the devil cannot get in on it. We pray and talk sometimes to God, and the devil listens. We tell the devil everything that's wrong with us. We tell him everything about everything. He knows all about us because of the way we yak and talk and go on. But there are times when I can plug into God and I can tell God everything and anything, and the devil cannot get involved in that because I have a private line to glory, and he is unable to get involved with this business of speaking in unknown tongues. He is not that powerful. He is not that powerful. He cannot do those things. Many things we attribute to the devil as nothing more than stinking rotten flesh. It has nothing to do with the devil. We give him too much credit. He is nobody. He is down. He is on his way down farther. His end is destruction, but our end is up. My end is walking on streets of gold. I will reign with him as kings and priests unto our God. And greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. God will make a way. It is going to happen. Something is going to take place in this last day. Everything is going to be all right because we know Jesus, and because we know him, everything will be all right in the end time. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are laying a tremendous foundation here for something apostolic, something that is astronomical. You are laying a foundation for it. I have always preached revival. I have always given myself to it. I have always believed what others did not believe. And whether they believe or not is immaterial to me. I've reached a place I couldn't care less what anybody thinks. I believe it. I'm going to have it. It will happen. You can have it on a local scale if nobody else has it. You can have it here whether they have it or not. Forget them. Go out and do what you can do for God. And pull down the power and the glory. Anything that's in this book, we've got a right to practice it. Anything that's in this book will come to pass because He said so. But the Bible says, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. There will be a latter house. There will be a latter rain. And whether I'm in it or you're in it or not is immaterial to God. His Word says there's going to be a revival, not because I have preached it, but because His Word declares there's going to be a revival. There is going to be a revival. There is going to be a revival. There is going to be a worldwide revival. There is going to be an earth-shaking revival. There is going to be a Book of Acts revival. There is going to be an end time move of God. I'll tell you where we are tonight. We are on the horizon of man's existence. But I can look away through the eye of the Spirit. And in the horizon there is a storm gathering. There are clouds gathering. There is thunder. There is lightning. I can feel the drops. I can feel the drops. Those early drops of the latter rain. But there's a storm on the horizon. I want you to know when it comes. I want to run out into it. I want to get soaking wet. I want to be involved in this end time move of God that God is giving us. Somebody is going to be used by God. Somebody is going to be used by God. God is not going to send angels. He's going to send men and women as He has always done. This thing has always been carried on the shoulders of men. My philosophy is that somebody is going to be used by God. It might as well be me. Why not? It might as well be you. Somebody is going to lay hold of the hem of His garment. Somebody somewhere is going to get a hold of Him. It might as well be me. It might as well be you. Why not? We have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Too many people are sitting around waiting for handwriting on a wall, a dream, a vision, or something like that. Don't wait to be drafted. Enlist in this. The benefits are better. Why don't you just walk into it? Why don't you just begin to try some of this stuff? Why don't you just shake yourself real good and get a hold of the Word of God? You know what to do. If tragedy strikes in your family, you'll get a hold of God. When real tragedy strikes, we know how to cry and intercede and travail. We know how to exercise faith, and we will do it. I'll tell you, this world is in tragedy. This world is in a mess. And we have the answer. If I didn't believe that, I'd check out tonight. We've got the answer. They don't have it out there. We've got it. The others don't have it. We have it. If they had it, I'd be with them, but I'm with you. Because this is it. And you can come from anything to this, but you cannot go from this to anything else, because there's nothing else to go to. This is dead end street. There's nothing else to go to. When you've been here, you've had it all. And the next step is to step up higher. And that's not too far away. Faith. Faith in God. I have known of God to work miracles for sinners. Not because they were part of the royal household of faith, but because in tragedy and despair, they have cried out to God and they have released faith. And God will turn handsprings for you if you will have faith in Him. If you will exercise faith, God will work miracles for you. I've known of sinners to get miracles of healing because they simply released faith. Faith is the most wonderful thing in all of spiritual existence. Faith can stand in place of what you ask for. Faith will stand in place of the image or the actuality itself. Faith is only the reflection of the thing that you want. Faith. I can close my eyes right now, and through the eye of faith, I can see this place filled to capacity and overflowing. Worshiping, seeking God. I can see a gigantic structure that seats more than 6,000. But I open my eyes and I see this. I see empty pews, a balcony that's empty. But I can close my eyes and my faith can see it. Faith. And that
will stand in place of the actuality until the actuality comes. There are many things that you must see in the realm of faith first before you will ever see them in the visible realm. Some things will never come into your life until you have first seen them through the eye of faith. You're going to need faith to get you in the rapture. You'll need faith day by day. But when the sound of the trumpet comes, and I have been changed like into His glorious body, and I go sweeping through pearly gates, I will not need faith to get me in the rapture. When you build a building that will seat 6,000, you will not need faith to build a building because the actuality is here. The scripture I read to you tonight, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Someone came to me once and said, "What does that mean? I have never really understood it." I was in a revival. There was a woman who came from another church. She was a Pentecostal. She came each night. She was on crutches. She came and she sat over here on the end. And the ushers would help her to get a chair, to put down the crutches, to get her leg that was in a brace up on a chair. And that woman sat there being filled with the Holy Ghost. She said there were three or four nights like that. One night the Spirit of God fell during the song service. And the ministers were on the platform, walked to her along with myself. And we gathered around her and laid hands upon her, began to pray. And as I was praying with my eyes closed, I could see in the theater of my mind's eye, I could see that woman walking. I opened my eyes and she was seated there. I closed them and I could see her walking. I opened my eyes again and she was still seated there. She was in bondage to the brace, the prognosis and the diagnosis of the physicians. But when I closed my eyes, I could see that woman running and leaping for joy. Suddenly, I leaned over, whispered in her ear. I said, "I believe that you can walk in Jesus' name." Her story was that she would not be able to walk for another year. And that when she did walk, she would have to relearn to walk all over again. That woman suddenly pushed us away. Faith touched her heart. She was able to reach out. She pushed us away. I don't know if it was my prayer or some other preacher's prayer. It really doesn't matter to me as long as we get the result. This woman pushed us out of the way. Suddenly, she began to struggle with her foot on the chair. And we helped her get her foot on the floor, moved the chair away. We raised her to her feet. That woman tried putting weight upon her foot. And when she did, there was no pain. And she began to sort of dance around like this in a circle. All of a sudden, when she finished the circle, she dropped everything and began to walk like this across the front of that auditorium. When she began to walk like that, people began to worship. There was a general signal for people to release their faith and to touch the hem of His garment because He was there. That woman went out the next day and bought a normal pair of shoes. She had been healed by the hand of the Lord. Let me tell you something. You've got to see some things in the eye of faith before you will ever see it in the realm of the reality. Have you ever considered that real faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? When you are praying in your closet or wherever, and you can see a lost husband begin to speak with tongues and cry, that little vision is substance. If you can see a daughter returning to the house of God and coming out of her sinful life, as you are praying in your closet, that is substance. If you can see a wife being saved, if you can see a great revival, Bible, if you can see God giving you a great ministry, if you can see yourself preaching before thousands, that is substance. If you will hold on to substance, it will become evidence. But you've got to hold on to it because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. I called Brother Haney not long ago, maybe a month and a half ago, praying for my father. I only get to see my parents a couple of times a year. My father is 75 years of age. He had a stroke. His right side was paralyzed. The doctor said there is nothing that we can do. There is a blockage in the throat. My father is unsaved. My father has never heard me preach. He's afraid to come. I've never been able to get him to one service where I was. But he stopped smoking and he has stopped drinking. He's been an alcoholic all of my life. And so my mother called and said, there's nothing they can do. He's scheduled for exploratory tomorrow. And if they find the right thing, they're going to operate on Friday. And they don't think he'll pull through the surgery. I said, God, you cannot, with what I have got going right now, you cannot let anything happen to my father. My sister called and said, you've got to get home immediately. And I felt a check. I didn't feel to go. That is very difficult to explain to people who do not have what you have a hold of. It's very difficult to explain your reasoning and your actions sometimes. And I called my mother and I said, Mother, I believe that my father will be all right. He could not feed himself. He had lost control of himself in many areas. He could not remember. He could not speak. He could not walk. But when I prayed and I got desperate, I was in Odessa, Texas at Brother Pugh's, and I was on my way somewhere else. I said, Mother, I cannot come home from here. I'll have to go to New York and then come back. I'm not prepared to come home. I've got to go back and then come back. And they didn't really understand. But when I prayed, I felt that God was going to do something. And I felt He spoke to me and said, call preachers, call great churches, call your friends, and have a network of prayer over the country. And I'll raise your father up. And I called you, and they told me that you prayed with your faculty. I called others. I called every direction. And I called my mother the next day at the end of the Tuesday after they had done the exploratory surgery. And she said to me on the phone, she said, Lee, they could not find the blockage. The blockage is not there. She said, he is beginning to be able to move his right hand. And I said, he's going to be all right. I'm not coming until Monday. I've got too much to do, but I'll be there on Monday. My sister called and said, you better get here. If you want to see him alive, you better get here. And she was indignant about it. And I said, Sherry, I'm not coming till Monday. I felt like I have heard from God. There are thousands of people praying. He's going to be all right. My trust is in the Lord. I tell you, blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, but cursed is the man who trusteth in the arm of flesh. I went home on a Monday. My father was walking with a walker. His speech had returned. He could remember. He wasn't normal, but he was not paralyzed anymore. The paralysis had left and gone. I want you to know I stayed there until Saturday. When I left on Saturday, my father was riding a power mower in the yard mowing the lawn. The doctor said, it's not us that did this. It's you folks that did this. And I'm saying it's him that did this, because there is a God. There is a God who can do anything, everything, and all things. My daddy knows that somebody bigger than those medical doctors reached down and helped him. There is a God who can cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the dead can be raised to life again. It is the gospel story. It is the only gospel story. I serve a God who was dead and is alive forevermore and can do anything, everything, all things, and nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Faith is in this place tonight. I don't have to touch you or come near to you. You can suddenly be healed exactly where you are. I was in a conference preaching. There was a woman who had one leg shorter than the other one. This has happened twice on two different occasions. While the preaching was going forth, that short leg began to grow. She wasn't even expecting it. She was just worshiping God. You want something from God? Worship Him. That's how you'll get it. If you will worship Him, you'll get what you need. And that leg grew until it grew as long as the other one. God knows just when to stop. There was a man in this conference I just came from in New Orleans who had a lump in his throat. He could no longer swallow. He was being forced to go to the doctors, he thought. But one night in the worship service, he simply raised his hands and the thing vanished. It was totally gone. He cannot find any trace of it. Don't sit there and tell me that God is not a healer. Don't tell me the days of miracles are over. They are not over. They're just beginning. Because the building of the latter house is going to be greater than in the former house. The latter rain is going to be a deluge. It's going to be a torrential flood.
Hallelujah.
People have said to me, oh, I have faith. You're a liar. You don't have nothing. People say, I have faith. I have faith. Oh, I believe. They don't. All the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 are said to have done something which gave evidence of their faith. I'm not impressed with people who say I can live for God at home. You can't live for God at home. You need me and I need you. We need this place. You can't live out there alone by yourself. You've got to gather together. There is power when we're together. I can worship God by myself, but together we can magnify Him. We can magnify the Lord together. The more of us there are, the more trouble the devil has. You can feel that. You can feel it here tonight. There is a sweeping of the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice. He had faith, but he didn't show it. You show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. You show me that you have faith in God tonight by coming through those doors, by lifting your hands, by clapping to the Lord, by worshiping Him. That is evidence of your faith. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. Faith in God drove them to do those things. Faith in God made them do those things. All the great heroes of faith in the Bible are said to have done something which gave evidence of their faith. The manifestation will occur only when we yield to faith. The manifestation will only occur when faith is present. If you feel impressed of God to do something in a service, maybe strange, do it. I preached in the East. I won't tell you where. But I preached in the East once for 2 whole weeks and nothing happened. And those people would not get with it. So, on the last Sunday night, I said, God, you and I are going to do our thing. And they can do whatever they want to do. I'm closing this thing tonight, and I'll go my way. And so I began. And I was really carried away. And I was having myself a time. There was one man and his wife. They were a very distinguished couple. He was a businessman, an artist of a sort, I think. And she was very, very, very feminine and very distinguished and very polished. She always carried a lace handkerchief in this one hand, always held it right here near this eye in case it looked to me like a tear came out. Just, she seemed like she was always prepared but never did anything. And so here they were. They were always just there. Every service they were there. But they never moved. They just never moved. Never. But on this Sunday night, while I was preaching, the thought kept coming to this distinguished man that he should put his left foot in the aisle. Now, that's a strange thing. He wasn't paying attention to what I was saying. I could tell that. He was preoccupied with something else. And he couldn't get away from this desire to put his foot in the aisle. And he kept looking at the aisle. And he kept shuffling. He worked with that, I don't know, for about 25 minutes. All of a sudden, he decided he would try it. All God is looking for is obedience. That's all. He stuck his foot in the aisle. And when he did, the Holy Ghost fell on him. He screamed. His wife nearly fainted away. He jumped in the aisle, and he took off running like an orangutan. He looked like he was on strings like a puppet. The pastor gasped. People turned around. They'd never seen him do anything like this before. He made about two laps around that whole auditorium, went out in the foyer, came racing down the center aisle, threw himself in the altar. People fell forward. They fell backwards. They fell on the floor. I want to say that in a week's time, 35 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Revival broke out that night with signs and wonders and miracles. There were healings. But if you feel like doing something, do it. If it's out of order, we'll fix it up. But do something. I tell the people that I pastor, if you think I don't have it, maybe I don't have it. Fall out of the chair on the floor. Do something. If you're tired, prop your elbows up on the back of the pew. But do something. We need to do something to attract his attention. And worship is where it is. And obedience to God. It will never come in the midst of doubt or failure to act on faith. There are two kinds of faith, saving faith and intellectual faith. One of the greatest examples of intellectual faith I've ever seen happened in a church in Ohio. I preached a half a revival. By that I mean about a week and a half. And in that revival, there was a man who came to the service. Every night he came faithful with his wife. He said, clear over there in the back, clear over there on the back pew. That man never did anything. He never worshiped. He never sang. He never lifted a hand. He wouldn't stand. He wouldn't do anything. Nothing. People like that interest me. And so one night I walked back to him in the altar call. And I said to him, would you like to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, no. I said, then you won't get it. And I turned around and left him. He came back the next night. Still there. You wouldn't know he was alive unless you checked your hand in front of his nose to feel his breath. Looked to me like his eyes didn't even move. But there was another man who came to this service. This fellow had a beard, looked like the devil himself. He came from, I don't know where he came from, but he came. And he would perch himself right down here on the front row. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't touch him. Don't stir up in him what's there. Leave him alone. The devil has sent him to cause trouble. Well, of course, you know, saints feel like if you don't just help all these rascals, that you're not compassionate. You know, that God had spoken to me. And the young man that was traveling with me, God spoke to him without me comparing notes with him and told him not to work with him at all. So we left him. This man came two or three nights in a row. He was one of these, unknown to us at that time, who had gone to all the major churches in the city, and he had attacked people, and he had caused trouble, and they had to take him to jail. And he went to the pastor where I was preaching, and he said, I want to sing a special tomorrow night. I mean, can you imagine? And he would argue with our people about the doctrine. He would argue against speaking with tongues, against baptism in Jesus' name. And he came just to stir up things. So one night I prayed that God would get him out of there, and he left. And so, I do that type of thing. And so I said to the people, I said to the pastor, I said, may I make an announcement? He said, is there anything you want to do? So I said to the people, look, I want you to ignore this man when he comes. He is sent for no good. Ignore him. Leave him alone. And so they clapped and praised God and thought that was straight from heaven and everything was great. And we went home. The next night he comes. Okay? He's back. We all ignored him. At the end of the service. Have you forgot this man over here in the corner? Don't forget him. He's still there. He's not moving. Okay? He's still there. At the end of the service, this man with the beard, he somehow winds up back there in that corner. And he gets to conversing with our young people, and he gets to fighting about the doctrine. All of a sudden, this man who has not moved grabs a Bible, tears it open to Acts 2:38, stands to his feet and says, Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, now there it is. If you don't get it, you're going to hell, and so am I. I said, preach it, brother. Preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. The man believed it in his mind. There are a lot of people who believe this. Evidence is that when they get sick, they don't call their own pastor. They call us for prayer. There are people in my city that when trouble strikes, they don't go to their own pastor. They come to a Pentecostal church because they know that there is power here, that we can get a hold of God. They intellectually believe. They really believe we've got it. Some of them know we've got it. But they won't live it. The devil's a believer. You talk about a believer. He is a believer. He's been there. He knows it's there. The Bible says the devil believes there is one God and he fears and trembles. He is a believer. What is the difference between intellectual faith and saving faith? Saving faith is the kind of faith that transcends human logic and reasoning and understanding and says, Jesus, I don't understand it, but I need you, and I come to you. And they come and they kneel before him, and God condescends to that kind of faith, and he touches and he raises and he lifts and he heals. Saving faith is the kind of faith when you surrender your own will to God and say, God, do with me whatever you want to do, and the hand of the Almighty reaches down to you and begins to pull you into a realm you've never walked in before. There are some of you right here tonight who believe it more mentally than you do physically or emotionally or experientially. I can feel your spirits. But I intend to blow you out of water before this week is over. There are some of you who need to have the gift that is in you stirred up again. There are some of you who need to go back to the place where you first found God. You need to go back there and feel that something that made you weep and say, God, I'll do anything, anything. I can feel it. But there's something else here that wants to get loose. There is something here that wants to get free. There is something here that wants to do it. I can feel it. I can feel it. What does faith really amount to? It amounts to accepting a principle and living by its teachings. Lift our hands and worship the Lord for a moment. Oh, Holy Father, Child of Bethlehem, Savior of the world, Master of the universe, move us and shake us. Ooh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 A few years ago, there was a mole that developed on the side of my neck. The thing began to grow very rapidly. And my white collars would irritate that thing during the day. And fear struck my heart. A fast-growing mole is one of the cancer signals And in the back of my head where there's no faith at all, you know that little place in your brain where there's just no faith at all, everything is just human logic and reasoning? There's something in me said, you have no insurance. And how are you going to do? And what are you going to do? You'd have to go have this as an outpatient cut out or burned out. And all of these things. And I would come home at the end of the day from working for God and this, that, and the other thing. And take off my collar. And that thing would be irritated to the size of a silver dollar on my throat. And I would look at that ugly thing and it was growing. One night I came home and I was very tired and I took that shirt off. I stood in front of the mirror in the bathroom and I looked at that ugly growth. And I took these two fingers and I laid these fingers on that growth. And I looked right into the mirror at it and I said, I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse you. And I was so tired, I just went into bed and fell into bed. I got up. The next morning, I stumbled in that bathroom and stood in front of that mirror. And somewhere between the moment I cursed it and the moment I was now looking at it, that thing had totally dried up. I took my fingers and touched it, and it fell off in my hand. In the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say it again. In the name of Jesus. Can you feel something mounting here? Can you feel something building in the spirit world? Can you feel it? There is something here in this place. I stand before you this night, saith the Lord. I am very close to you. Reach out and touch me, and thou shalt have the desire of your heart, saith the Lord. Ah. Hallelujah. There are people here tonight who have physical disorders. I want you to stand by faith. If you feel that God will touch you, lift your voice. Let it out. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. There's something sweeping over this congregation tonight. The hand of the Lord is upon us. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. There's somebody in the back to my right that is being crumpled by the Spirit of God. You've got a striped red and blue dress on. Let the Holy Ghost do with you what He wants to do with you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. Can you feel something happening? Can you feel something coming to you? You can see it. You can see yourself walking. You can see yourself healed. You can determine that the pain is gone. That is my Savior. That is my Savior. Jesus is in this place. And I reiterate, because He is. If you feel that you have been healed, I want you to come from where you're standing. I want you to come to this altar and lift your hands and just simply praise Him. I have been healed by the hand of the Lord. In Jesus' name, with my mouth, I confess it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it, that's it, that's it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When Jesus walked in this world, they shouted, they leaped for joy, they danced. The blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame walked. This Jesus that I preach to you tonight turned a funeral procession into a praise service. They went out mourning, they came back leaping for joy. That same Jesus is alive in this place tonight. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, hallelujah, hallelujah, sing it, worship the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you are in need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, all hail the power of the power.
Jesus' name. Let
hallelujah, Jesus.
Angels cry. the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate for. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate forth. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the